Hello and welcome to Databook, a podcast from Chief Healthcare Executive. With Databook, we talk about technology, innovation, and the transformation of healthcare. Today, we're talking with Lissy Hu, the president of Connected Networks at WellSky. She works with providers across the healthcare continuum to coordinate care. We discuss finding the right option for post-acute care after hospitalization, the increasing desire for patients to recover at home, and using technology to improve care transitions. She also talks about founding the company CarePort, which was later acquired by WellSky. It's a great discussion. Please join us. Thanks for joining us today. We are talking with Dr. Lissy Hu, the president of Connected Networks at CarePort, powered by WellSky. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
Hi there, Ron. How are you? Nice to join you again.
Yeah, good to see you. For those of us who our audience who aren't as familiar with CarePort, talk about your background and your work in founding CarePort.
Sure. So CarePort is part of WellSky, which is one of the America's largest healthcare technology companies, you know, serving a really wide range of care, ranging from community-based care to post-acute care, to acute care. And CarePort within WellSky is a connected network that connects hospitals with post-acute care providers with community-based providers. So you can almost think of us as sort of the connective tissue across many of those settings of care. And when I founded CarePort, you know, one of the big challenges that all these providers have, no matter where they sit on the spectrum, is being able to more easily collaborate and work with one another. Because as you know, when you're a patient, you're not just in a nursing home, but you're in the nursing home, but then you're in the hospital, and then sometimes you're receiving home health as well, right? And so it's really important more and more for these providers to be able to talk to one another, share data, coordinate with one another. And so that was what the CarePort solutions was really built to, was to enable more care coordination and care transitions between different settings of care. So, you know, even just to give you an example of how things used to work prior to the CarePort solutions, when a patient would need to go out of the hospital, somebody would have to, a nurse would have to call around to the different nursing homes in the area. Do you have a bed? Do you have a bed? Do you have a bed? What insurances do you take? And so even as a first step, it was, how do we sort of automate that and make it really easy to find the right nursing homes, see which ones were available, and do all this electronically rather than through a lot of different, you know, manual phone calls, faxing, you know, everything that all the ways that people try to reach each other sort of manually.
Now, you founded CarePort over 10 years ago. Was there an aha moment or some tipping point that really motivated you to say, this is a company that we need to form? What was the tipping point in moving forward and saying, this, I need to start this company?
Well, I think like a lot of founders, entrepreneurs, innovators, I think it's really about seeing the problem firsthand. And so when I was in medical school in Boston at one of the Boston programs, we would, you know, as a medical student, you've got a lot of time to spend with patients and their families. And oftentimes patients would come in and you know, a lot of people have had this experience. They would go into the hospital and they would expect that they could go home right away. And it turns out that a lot of times you need some type of rehabilitative care, right? Maybe you broke your hip and you need to go to a rehab where they're going to help you rehab your hip before you can go home and do everything on your own. And so, and a lot of the times when people are faced with these decisions, they really have no guidance. They have a list of names and addresses of a nursing home. Maybe they've driven by, and but that's pretty much it. And so as, you know, a medical student, part of the clinical team, the patient or oftentimes the family member would often ask you, if you were me and trying to figure out where mom or dad could go, where would you send mom and dad or dad? And a lot of times you don't have a good answer to that, right? You know, I don't know if you ever tried Googling nursing homes in whatever city or town you live in, you know, you get sort of a mishmash of stuff. And where you go turns out to make a real difference, have a real impact on your recovery. And so as I was going through medical school and thinking about all the time and resources we spent getting people well, but spending zero time on understanding what their recovery was going to be like and where they should go for their recovery and where it was best suited for that patient, that was sort of my aha moment. I said to myself, it's not just this patient, it's millions of patients all across the US. You know, we're getting older, we're living longer, we're having more and more of these needs. You know, how are we going to be able to help all of these people, millions of people, make sure that they're getting the type of recovery that that they deserve?
Well, there's so many more options now for post-acute care and, you know, for patients and their families, it can be overwhelming. How do you help patients' families make the right choices?
So I think, I think that for my team and for me, what we've always thought our true north has been is, let's make sure that when we're giving patients choice, it's really informed choice, right? Because if they don't have the right information, then it's not really choice. It's just sort of blindly picking, based on data that may be right or wrong or have no bearing on what the patient actually needs. And so what we set out to build was really almost like a hotels.com, TripAdvisor type of tool for people who are trying to select nursing homes, home health agencies, hospice agencies, any of these sort of, even when we think about the term that we use, post-acute care, it can mean so many different things, right? It's even within that in the spectrum. And so for us, one of the things that we did, we spoke with a lot of patients, we spoke with a lot of their families, we spoke with the hospitals and the post-acute care providers, and they all agree that we need to be able to help patients get to the right place for them. And so that means understanding what clinical conditions the patient has, because some nursing homes do better for certain types of patients than others. Some of them, for example, can do dialysis on site. Others can't, or some of them specialize in dementia, Alzheimer's care. So being able to understand the clinical profile of that patient, the meds that they need, being able to understand the patient's insurance, right? Because different providers can accept different insurances, and that has implications as well. And then really also starting to present things that patients really care about. So they want virtual tours. They want pictures. They want to understand, you know, what the room is like. If they have family that's going to be visiting, they want to know, is it accessible by public transportation? Is there parking? So that dynamic, that sort of lens is also really important. So there's a clinical lens, sort of the patient, you know, preference, family lens. And then I think the third lens is the outcomes that we see. You know, if you go to this nursing home, what are your chances of readmitting or bouncing back to the hospital? You know, to how successful is this specific provider with the type of rehab that you need? So sort of that really quality component. So we look sort of across all of those, the clinical component, the financial component in terms of insurances, the patient family component, it takes into account their preferences, and then the quality component as well. So really trying to give folks a 360 degree view of these providers so that they can make the best choice for them and their family.
It's so important, especially as you mentioned, we're not only getting older, but also in the post-acute area, as in a lot of healthcare, there's staffing shortages that are really bedeviling some organizations and makes it all the more, I think, tricky, potentially, if you're a patient or a family member, you're trying to make the right choice. Are you seeing any easing up in the staffing situation in the post-acute area, or is it still pretty challenging for staffing at this point?
I would say that it's still pretty challenging. And I would say that on the post-acute side, there's some real uniqueness in the challenges that they face. So obviously there continues to be staffing challenges all across the healthcare spectrum. But on the post-acute care side, what we've actually seen since really the start of the pandemic, or even before the start of the pandemic, is really more and more demand for post-hospital care. You know, like we said, at the very beginning of our conversation, just the graying of America, the aging population, people with more comorbidities. You're also just seeing not just the graying of the U.S. population, but an increase in diabetes and heart failure and all these different comorbidities that people have. And so people are not only getting older, but people are getting sicker, and they're higher acuity patients. And it's that makeup of patients. Those are the ones that need extra services when they come out of the hospital. And so it's been sort of a perfect storm for these post-acute providers, where you see skyrocketing demand, but, you know, very, very constrained supply. So the staffing shortages have been very challenging. All the more reason why I think people are really starting to think, and I think this is a good thing, you know, necessity propels change. But one of the things that I think post-acute providers are now more and more embracing is using data and technology to be more efficient and effective in their processes, right? So instead of just hiring more nurses to man the phone lines, because that's very expensive and those nurses aren't even available, how do we leverage technology so that we can have more targeted referrals coming to us, so that, you know, we can spend our resources more judiciously in terms of reviewing the actual patients who are suited for our facility.
And seeing more studies showing that patients are choosing to go home as opposed to going to, you know, a rehabilitation center, long-term care facility of some sort. Is that a trend that you see continuing in the near future?
It is. We've seen increased demand for all types of post-acute care, but what's really skyrocketed, what's really accelerated, is the demand for home-based care. You know, we've seen millions and millions more referrals going into home-based providers than previously. And I think, you know, there's a really interesting phenomenon happening, where one of the things that our providers are trying to really think about carefully as they're going into different value-based care, you know, because not only do patients prefer the home, but it's also a more cost-effective setting, right? And it can be, you know, 3-5, sometimes even 10 times more expensive, depending on, you know, what type of facility and what type of home-based care you're talking about. And so there's a real desire, I think, by everybody. We're all, you know, it's one of those rare moments in healthcare where, like, all the incentives are aligned, the patient and the provider and the payer, is how do we get more patients into the home, because it's a more value-based setting of care that the patient also prefers. And so we are seeing that shift. And I think right now, where there's a lot of discussion and innovation, is how do we know which patients are appropriate for home-based care? You know, how do we know which patients who are going to maybe a nursing home should actually go to home, or even vice versa? There may be patients who are going home where it's really, you know, there really would be better in a facility setting. And so those are some of the questions that are now coming up because of the shift that we're seeing, right? Do we have, can we shift more patients? Are there some patients where we should actually be going the other way? And so both the choice of the provider, but also the choice of that care setting, is a really important decision in the patient's recovery.
You really hit on something interesting when you talk about so many people want to be home, which makes sense. You want to at least, even if you're not able to do much, you want to at least be in your own bed, have maybe some of your own food. But it gets tricky in terms of deciding, like, who can really thrive at home and who really needs more care than you can get at home. How tricky is that assessment in terms of, because I think most patients are going to, given the choice, are going to strongly lobby to go home if they can do so at all. But as you said, that's not always the right option for some people. So how tricky is in making that choice?
I think it can be really nuanced, because you're talking about taking into consideration the patient's clinical factors, right? But also What are their home factors, right? Can they walk up a flight of stairs? Do they have somebody in their home who can help them prepare meals? So in addition to having to consider the patient's clinical status and you know, their medical, their just the medical picture of that patient, you also have to consider the home picture of that patient. And so there's just so much more decision-making now, right? Should the patient go to home? Should the patient go to nursing home? What's the right setting for them? And then within that, you know, what's the right provider? And all of this is happening, this sort of increased complexity around these care transitions. There's increased complexity around care transitions at the same time when healthcare providers have less time than they ever did before. And so again, I think this is where we start to think about data and artificial intelligence and data and you know, just using huge amounts of data and data analytics to help take into account, you know, here are the millions of patients that have gone through the system. And these are the ones based on this very holistic and detailed profile that this looks like this type of patient who's done very successfully in the home, or this is the type of patient that has not done successfully at home. And I think where there's a lot of promise in data, and what I'm excited about is how do we start to use all this data that we have in order to help our providers make more intelligent decisions, you know, because they're operating in environments of increased complexity with less time and less resources. So we have to be able to enable them better.
Is technology really the key in providing more transparency for patients and their families?
I think it's a combination of technology and data. And I think that having the two, you know, ultimately the provider is always going to have to make that decision with the patient, right? I don't think any of us would be comfortable just having a technology algorithm tell us where to go or where we should recover. But I think the promise of technology and analytics is helping you sort of narrow down the set of options, right? So instead of looking at, you know, we go to a restaurant looking at like a 10-page menu, it's being able to say, you know what, these are the set of options that are most appropriate for you, right? You can always choose to not go with the set of options and go somewhere else. But at least being able to tell people this is the set of options and then telling them why we think that this is the right set of options for them. I think it's the technology, the analytics, and the transparency in terms of the why. So it's not just the black box algorithm. And that's one of the things that when we're developing our solutions, we're always thinking about is how do we make this so it's not a black box, right? How do we start to shed light into why we are highlighting certain providers and showing them to certain types of patients?
We're talking about patients leaving the hospital, whether they go to the home, rehab hospital, nursing home. It seems that it's more and more important to talk about the transition and really preparing the patient for the next step in the journey. So I'm really curious, since you see this in so many different aspects, what can hospitals and health systems be doing better to help prepare patients for that next step when they're released from the hospital?
So I've spoken with a lot of health systems. You know, our team works with over 2,000 health systems, 130,000 post-acute care providers. And every provider you speak to, you know, they're dealing with their own unique challenges and their own sort of unique environments, because healthcare can be very local. But I would say that this has really been an area where people have more commonality and differences, you know, this area around care transitions. And it really speaks to, you know, sort of the macro trends that you and I have talked about, right? The graying of America, higher complexity patients needing more of these services, staffing constraints, how do we sort of bring all this together? And I think for these health systems, they are also very resource constrained. Just like the post-acute providers, you know, they too are looking at how do we leverage more technology and how do we leverage more data. And in some ways, this is almost, you know, it's really serendipitous, right? Because for technology analytics to work in this type of space where you're connecting hospitals with post-acute providers, both of them have to opt in and say, yes, this is a good idea, right? Because the way that the system works is the connection of the two, right? It's not just that there's a button here or there's a button there, but it's that you've got two different sets of providers on the same platform. And so it's been great to sort of see both sides of the platform want to adopt technology because they're both facing these very similar macro trends, both resource constrained, and both know that we can't just handle all this additional volume by hiring more nurses, right? It's not a sustainable, scalable way for us to do business with one another. And so both of us, we have to invest in technology, have to invest in analytics, have to come together to figure out ways to really enable our own providers. And so it's been so rewarding for us as their partner on both sides, because when we go into a market, we bring all of them together, right? There, when we're talking about the installation of a platform like ours, which is connecting the two, we get to bring together the health systems and the post-acute providers and on the same technology with the same language so that they can together better work in service of their shared patients.
Do you see, you mentioned that there's the growing interest in technology and looking at ways to do better. Do you see health systems and hospitals making progress in improving that transition and making sure that the patients are and the families too, for that matter, are prepared for, you know, that next step in getting in the right post-acute setting?
We do. I mean, if we were to give you, for example, you know, some of our success stories, right? We see that hospitals and post-acute providers that use our systems, you know, we see a decrease in their readmission rates. We see an increase in their patient satisfaction. And so what we're seeing is that, you know, they're being able to connect them, being able to facilitate the electronic transfer of information, being able to showcase some of this quality information, which, you know, can be quite different, right? So when we look at, for example, our top performing nursing homes, their readmission rate is 12%. When we look at our bottom performing nursing homes, their readmission rates can be almost double that. And you as a family member, you know, all else being equal, both of them can accept your insurance and take care of you. Where would you go, right? Of course, you would want to go to the place with the lower readmission rate because who wants to bounce back to the hospital? And so that's the type of information that's changing minds and therefore having a direct impact on outcomes, right? If you can show that information and patients then end up choosing providers that are more appropriate for them, then they're going to have lower readmission rates. Then the hospital is going to benefit, the health plan and the payer, you know, government's going to benefit. And because it's a better quality outcome at lower cost. And ultimately the post-acute provider is going to benefit because they also get dinged on readmissions as well.
I'm interested, since you have insight in so many different parts of healthcare, there's so much discussion on health equity and closing disparities among disadvantaged groups. What are some of the keys to improving health equity in your perspective?
Yeah. You know, I think the focus on health equity, where there's been a lot of activity, is on first trying to get more information and reporting and transparency around the outcomes of patients based on different, you know, different aspects of health equity, right? So I think right now there's a lot of work being done, good work being done in terms of how do we get our arms around this problem with more specificity. And then I think the next wave of where we're going is ensuring that our outcomes are equitable across those different groups that we're focused on, right? So we're seeing the same outcomes for vulnerable populations as we do for non-vulnerable populations. And specifically in sort of the care transition area, that's a really, that's an area with a lot of activity because as you can imagine, it's really sort of the high need, the sickest, you know, the most vulnerable patients that tend to need a lot of these services post-hospital. And so, you know, as we sort of are in this journey with everybody else in the U.S. healthcare system, I think the first aspect is how do we make sure that we're looking at our data and that our hospitals and our post-acute providers and everyone's looking at this data from a health equity lens, so that then the next step is, let's make sure that the care transition outcomes for these different populations are equitable, and that we're not, there's not blind spots because we didn't know about it or we weren't looking at data or patients in this specific way, right? We were only looking at them because from a diabetes perspective or because they were age 80 to 85. Let's make sure that we're looking at them with the right, you know, lens to make sure that we can deliver on equitable outcomes.
Well, I know we're getting near the end of our window. So I just want to ask, we talked before a couple times about the graying of America. It seems like there's only going to be increased demand for Carefor and for the company services. What's ahead for the company in the near future?
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, as you can probably tell from talking with me, you know, it's something that I'm excited about. There's a lot to look forward to because, you know, for a long time, when we thought about healthcare, at least when sort of mainstream America thought about healthcare, they really thought about hospitals and physician groups and health plans, right? I think that for many, the concept of post-acute care and home-based care and why these settings of care are so important and are going to become even more important going forward because of all the demographic changes that we just talked about, you know, I think that's starting to, you know, last couple of years sort of become introduced to mainstream America, and certainly awareness and appreciation for this part of the care continuum is building. And I think that's really positive for patients because a lot of patients are going to need to get care in these settings. And so the more that we do now to make sure that these settings of care are being connected to all the other settings of care, to physician groups, to health systems, to health plans, you know, the better it is going to be for all of us in the coming years. And so that's what one of the things that we have been really focused on at WellSky is, how do we make sure that, you know, right now we're connecting hospitals and post-acute providers, but how do we make sure we're bringing physicians into the mix? Because how many times have you heard, you know, I was in the hospital, I went home and I went to my doctor and they had no idea I was even in a nursing home. They had no idea I was even in a rehab. And so a lot of the work as we think about, you know, the next couple of years is making sure that we're bringing not just hospitals and post-acute providers together, but really bringing in primary care docs and specialists into the mix so that they can be aware of these really critical moments in a patient's journey.
Sounds like a very challenging time. It also sounds like a pretty exciting time.
Yes, definitely. Challenging and exciting. I think those two tend to go together.
Indeed. Well, hey, thanks so much for taking some time to talk with us today. It's great connecting with you again. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. I always enjoy the conversation. Appreciate the time.
Thank you for listening to Databook, a podcast by Chief Healthcare Executive, a brand of MJH Life Sciences. You can subscribe to Databook wherever you get your podcasts. For latest news, insights, and analysis of the healthcare industry, visit chiefhealthcareexecutive.com. You can follow us on LinkedIn, Facebook, and X, the platform formerly known as Twitter. I'm Ron Southwick, Senior Editor of Chief Healthcare Executive. Take care.